Heavenly Father, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please take a seat. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Why did Jesus say this? I'd like to focus this morning on this statement that Jesus made and why he said it to his disciples specifically and what it might mean for us in our lives right now. Jesus' disciples were arguing, and when Jesus asked them what they were arguing about, they kept quiet. But he knew they were arguing about who was the greatest. Before I began training for ordained ministry, I was a primary school teacher, and I had been for about 16 years. And I'm also the mother of two young children, so I've spent quite a lot of my time in the company of very young children. And I've often heard statements, as I'm sure many of us have, like, "I'm in charge of this game, not you. I'm the winner. I'm faster than you are. My slice of cake is bigger than yours." And I won't go on to list the adult versions of those statements, because I'm sure we've all heard them, and we've probably said or thought things like that ourselves. Jesus' disciples were doing something that many of us do. After all, we all want to be great. I know I do. And Jesus didn't respond to this by saying to his disciples that it's wrong to want to be great, but instead he gave them his definition of greatness. He said, if anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. So this means that for Jesus, greatness is not measured by what we have or what we can do. It's not measured by who we are or where we are in life. For followers of Christ, I think greatness flows from three things. Sacrifice. We're called to give up who we are now so that we can become the people that God wants us to be. From service. We're called to give ourselves to others and spend our lives on those around us. And selflessness. We're called to give ourselves to Christ and to his kingdom. So when Jesus tells us that anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all, he's talking about these things: sacrifice, service, and selflessness. Because in God's kingdom, this is the way that we can achieve greatness. It's very different from the way greatness can be achieved in this earthly kingdom. Christianity is certainly countercultural in this respect. And Jesus, being a great teacher, then went on to teach a great lesson on greatness. He used a visual aid to do this, a child. He took a little child who he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." For those of us who are parents or have been responsible for caring for children, we know that children can teach us a great deal about sacrifice, service, and selflessness, as we often have to put their needs before our own, especially when they're babies. Becoming a parent means that you have to make sacrifices, surviving on less sleep, less money, less time to yourself. And if you choose to give up paid work to stay at home and care for children, it also means losing some of the status that may come with that. And actually, being a parent is a huge responsibility. It's the most important job ever. But others don't always see it that way, and can even seek to make it harder. Parenthood is difficult and costly. But despite the difficulties, I'm sure many people who are parents would agree, the sacrifices make it worthwhile, and that being a parent does bring such joy into our lives. So a child can teach us something of what ministry is all about, and despite the sacrifice, the real joy that it brings. Because children are among the most vulnerable members of our society. And there are other groups, of course, such as those who are sick or elderly, or those with mental health issues, to name just a few. And people who are vulnerable can teach us what ministry is all about. In fact, being in the presence of those who are most vulnerable, or being one of them ourselves, can very quickly bring us closer than we've ever been to the heart of God. I heard a story about Mother Teresa, which illustrates this quite nicely. A visitor to her hospital in Calcutta once saw her tending to the cuts and bruises of an AIDS patient. And the visitor admitted to her, "Gosh," he said, "I'd never do that. Not for £1 million. And she replied, "Neither would I. But I do it for Jesus, for nothing." And children at the time of Jesus, they had very low status and no rights. They were the least in society. And being a person who cared for their needs lowered your own status, just like nursing AIDS patients in Calcutta probably does. In fact, being a person whom in any way loves, serves or protects those who are vulnerable probably won't give you high status by worldly standards, but in God's kingdom, you will be considered great. And I'm not suggesting that we all need to give up what we do right now and become foster carers or nurses, although some of us may. Our priority is to make space and to shift our focus so that Christ can become more and more present in our lives. We're called to die to ourselves and to live for Christ in our service for others, just as he denied himself for the sake of others. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." And then in the following verse, how he was even obedient to death on a cross, not for himself. He did that for us. If we follow his example and empty ourselves of ourselves, then we can be filled with the love of Christ. And with Christ fully present in our lives, we can find that we're able to do things that we never thought possible. We're more able to put others first and to reach out, even to those we perhaps would have kept away from previously. We're able to love with the love of Christ, the most powerful love that there is. And when we die to ourselves, instead of us living, Christ lives in us and so fills us with his love for others. And some ways that we can show this love and be less selfish might include listening to others. It helps build relationships and opens our minds to other people's points of view. Other people, especially children, have so much to teach us. Recognizing that we're not the most important person in the world. Or, as my son Noah puts it, when he's trying to stop his sister from getting her own way, "Are you more important than me, Abby?" Because we each have our own special gifts, yes. But each individual is not worth more than any other. God loves us all. By putting ourselves in other people's shoes, understanding the reasons behind other people's behaviour can help us not be so quick to judge or condemn them. The reasons could be complex or they could be very simple. I know that when I start to get grumpy, sometimes it's because I'm either tired or hungry. And if my husband Simon spots this, it improves the situation no end. So there are often reasons behind our behaviour. Putting others' needs before our own. Sometimes when other people's needs call us away from what we want to be doing, the temptation is to say no. No, I'm busy, not now. In fact, there's a really good book for children called Not Now, Bernard, in which a child, Bernard, is trying to get the attention of his parents, and they continuously ignore him. And they say, not now, Bernard. And in the end, he gets eaten by a monster. And the monster is mistaken for Bernard and sent to bed. Which is an awful story, really, but I think it's so popular because it speaks such truth. It hits on something that we are all guilty of at times. The voice asking for our loving care and attention has within it the voice of Christ and Christ's call to love others. So this is how God's will can become our own. And we die to ourselves on a daily basis so that we can live for Christ. We're surrendering our will to him. God might not call us to give up our life for Christ, but he does call us to give up our will. Once we do this, we can truly become great. I'd like to finish this morning with a quote from Archbishop Oscar Romero, who did die for Christ in 1980 during unrest in El Salvador, South America. And he said that our vocation is about ambition to greatness for God. He said, "I believe that the saints were the most ambitious persons, and this is my ambition for all of you and for myself, that we may be great, ambitiously great, because we are images of God, and we cannot be content with mediocre greatness." Amen.